is it?
This is Shavis Olamari, and you guys are listening to Reset. Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Reset. This is your host, Radio Mike, and I'm here with my cohort, Lawrence.
How you doing out there?
All right. Now that we have those formalities out of the way, we can get right into what matters right now. Resident Evil 5.
Yes.
Cue sound effect. No, seriously, like, I got the third sound effect over it. Resident Evil 5. Jesus Christ. We are talking this week solely about Resident Evil 5. I understand that we just did another show about a Capcom game. This is a different Capcom game. This game, at the time of this recording, will be released on Friday the 13th. How fitting. And will be released on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Yes.
As the game ships, to date, there's no talks about whether or not DLC will be launched with the game, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to do that somewhere down the line, but that doesn't matter because you don't need downloadable content for a game that is already perfect.
No, there's more than enough to do out of the box as soon as you pull it out and put it in your system. Like, between the three difficulties that are available from the start of it,
yep.
Not to mention an unlockable mode, which is going to take up a huge portion of your time because that also has unlockable content for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about like ranking systems for all of the levels and all of the separate difficulties therein and the extra game and unlockables tied into both of those. Like and then you're like, all the weapons, and there are so many.
There are lots of weapons. Like, people complained about Resident Evil 4. And the lack of a variety of weapons?
Yeah, possibly.
This is your answer. There's a lot. And people playing on the 360 and the PS3 will be treated to trophies and achievements. And they're not all easy. Not at all.
Some of them are downright or almost impossible.
Yeah. Good thing that the game has a new mechanic in it. That is co-op. Another character is presented in this game, in the series. Resident Evil, you know, for the longest, has been a single-player experience. It's something you do by yourself. Not until recently with the Outbreak series, where they tried to branch off into that.
And failed.
And failed miserably. And the Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, which is an on-rails shooter two people.
Yeah, one could argue the validity of co-op.
I mean, like, obviously
like that
doesn't make it co-op, other than the fact that, I mean, that's two people. Playing through the stuff together.
Which, yeah, it doesn't really make the experience either more enjoyable or less so, you
exactly.
would say.
Exactly. But there are enough things that they took from all the series going forward of Resident Evil and put into this game properly that makes it work. Like, we talk about inventory management now, because that was another big issue. People like, yeah, I mean, I guess you could think about it this way. It's like back in the day, we used to put things into an imaginary box that held every item.
Yeah, with Resident Evil 4, you had like a ridiculously large suitcase. They got progressively larger.
And every time you saw the fat man, you get a bigger attaché case. Until, like, where did Leon have that? None of that made sense.
Yeah.
All the items, any weapons that you have, you'll see on your person in real time. Your weapon swapping is all mapped to your D-pad. Well, you can set your weapons on any of the four cardinal directions, up, down, left, or right. And if you hit those on the D-pad, I'm assuming it'll probably be the same for your PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Is up, down, left, or right will correspond to whatever you put into that item slot. That's actually not just weapons.
That's items as well.
Like items and ammo.
Yes.
All that. And they made it work. It's you have enough inventory slots where stuff stacks now, like all your ammo stacks into certain group amounts depending on the type of ammo it is, higher level guns obviously stack lower amounts of ammo. You can't just run around with 5,000, you know, rockets. That's dumb. If you have 5,000 rockets and you need all of them to beat the game, then that's sad anyway.
It's like another mechanic as far as inventory management is like the convenience of being able to pass consumable objects between players.
Yes.
And a lot of people, like the inventory system is, I'll play devil's advocate and say it's a mixed bag because like me personally playing the game, I thought it was like the best thing ever being able to like set certain items to like four key quadrants in your inventory and then having like another five to just put whatever you want outside of like, you know, ammunition and whatnot. But being able to just like select the item and pass it to your partner. Like the thing is when you go into your inventory menu, the game does not stop. Like the experience and the enemies therein are relentless. And if you like hit Y and you try to pass something to your partner, you have to be mindful of your surroundings.
Yeah, but you're doing that. That's the point. It's being able to, and I guess this is another one of those things where they talked about evolving the series and evolving that fear, because be mindful throughout this game, at least for myself, I don't remember having any, you know, heart pounding moments where, oh my gosh, this is scary. Oh no, the dogs jumped through the window kind of thing, kind of moment. And I mean, there were parts where it's like, oh, that's it. Shoot it. shoot it faster. And miss a couple times, but like, you get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was never really a time where I would be in the middle of a fight. It's like, oh no, I'm out of ammo. Can I get some ammo? And there's not enough room for you to breathe. There's still small windows, and if you're playing with a partner, which is another thing to be mindful of, you can work around that, and you can make that work for yourselves.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, it's like, you know, once again, this game introduces a new concept, which is playing through the fear, not by yourself, but with someone else, which is your partner. Your partner in this case is Sheva Alomar, who is a member of the BSAA team that Chris is now part of. She's a part of the West African branch. And
conveniently.
Well, obviously, at this point in the world, in the timeline, this takes place after Umbrella has folded over. This takes place after the events of Resident Evil Degeneration and the events of Resident Evil 4 with Leon and the Plagueis. And all of this is well known. Everyone knows about what Umbrella did as, you know, a biowarfare company. Like, yo, they did some really shady stuff. They got punished for it. They're no longer the global leader in technologies and goods like they were before. Because remember, Umbrella was a very big house. It's like a household name. It was like saying like Pledge or, you know, Coca-Cola. They were in your house. They were in your face. And they were prevalent in your everyday life. Umbrella folded over after the events of Raccoon City. And now there are more people who are out there because, remember, the virus didn't just disappear.
Yeah.
People wanted that. Obviously, you know, terrorist groups, they would use this to their benefit. And this is just one of the places where there's a report of a bioterrorist attack.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, the Plagueis and that progenitor virus that were, you know, used prevalently in the first and second game make a reappearance now. With Chris going to investigate with Sheva, obviously, in Africa. I didn't research it. I think Kijuju's a real place?
I don't know if Kijuju's a real city, but, like, again, that's the starting point of the game is, like, you know, you're in this, like, I think it's, like, a town off the coast of Africa called Kijuju, and you start off a little ways inland.
Mm-hmm.
And you work your way towards the shore and then back inward again towards the mainland. And after the first couple of chapters, the story starts hop-skipping around.
Yeah, like, which is good, which is really good, actually.
Yeah, the scenery changes, like, drastically
from chapter to chapter. People complain that a lot of times with games like this, the scenery is the same. And, like, you really have to imagine, like, Resident Evil 1 took place in a mansion. How drastic can you change the environment in a mansion?
They tried,
same place with the second game. It's like this game takes place in a, I was about to say hotel. That's a very different game.
Yo, but still, they Resident Evil 2, for the record.
No,
like,
obviously, awesome game.
It took place in a city, but you spent 2/3 of it in a police station.
Obviously. And then there's, like, there's the facility that you go to. I'm saying, like, they varied it up. And it was a PS1 game, fine.
Yeah.
I'm saying games now, like, this generation of games
has
a very bad habit. Like, just, like, Gears of War is an awesome game. But Gears of War 1 was, like, gray city to gray building to gray house to dark room to dark building to dark area to boss fight. Not very colorful. Obviously, they changed a lot of that with Gears 2. Now, a lot of it's still your grays and your browns and your blacks and your reds, but a lot of that is varied. And the thing about Resident Evil 5 is, God, that game is pretty. I almost don't have to go outside anymore. Like, I make a joke about this real-time gaming engine that doesn't exist, obviously. It's called Outside Engine. And Resident Evil 5 comes really close to it. Like, the only other game that comes close to that is Killzone 2.
Like, Resident Evil 5 is, as far as console games go, is quite arguably the best-looking thing I've ever seen.
And I mean, like, that's not just you looking at videos, like, rendered footage. That's in-game engine, in-game, you playing the
game. Completely, the whole way through.
Running around the entire game. Like, it never takes you out of what is the game.
In fact, one might argue that it starts to look better the further in you progress. And there are a couple of cinemas in particular which are also rendered real-time. And most notably, two boss fights where the animation and the artwork they use to make the characters therein coincide to make something that is just absolutely beautiful looking on a television screen. And it's like you're just sitting there like, my game is doing this in front of me. And it's not freezing.
It is not a joke. It don't slow down. And like, that's another thing to speak highly of with this game. Like, Capcom has done a wonderful job reframing this multi-platform engine that they have to making it so that, I mean, like, because a lot of people were complaining that, you know, the 360 development was holding back a lot of what made this game better, and I will argue up and down that the 360 version of the game
runs all over a lot
better. It runs so much better. It's like, yo, with the anti-aliasing,
man,
like, this is really bad. Like, I'm really, like we're sitting here and we're talking about the game, and I just want to be home playing the game right now. Like,
yeah, for real.
We could be home playing the game.
like this is just time wasted, but we have to tell everybody.
We have to tell other people about this game. And the thing that goes along with this game that really works is the fact that the game can be played by yourself, and the AI for your character, for Sheva Alomar, your partner.
Yeah, your partner character.
Is very competent. Yes. She sees enemies, she will shoot them. She sees your trouble.
With unerring accuracy.
She will help you. She will run over and she will help you, and that's another thing that's cool about the game. When you get hit into a critical state, you don't just die instantly. Now, there are enemies that can kill you.
Yeah, and they will.
They'll do their best to kill you. But Sheva will try her best to thwart the enemies from getting to you, and if they do, she'll run over, she'll throw a healing spray on you, because, you know, obviously the whole mixing herbs together on papers got kind of outdated.
Yeah.
So they come in little tubes, kind of like, you know, that hand sanitizer spray? Comes in a tube, just spray it on your face, just all over your face. And she'll hit you with one of those. Another cool thing is, if you don't have any healing items, she'll run over, and if you're in critical state, she can come over and do the assist button. And it's basically like a adrenaline shot, which brings you back up. Now, obviously, your health is still low, but this will keep
you'll be
you
able
from
to limp
dying.
Away.
You'll be able to move, because when you're in the dying state,
you can't do anything.
You'll see
but
something
walk
in your circle.
Slowly.
It'll say dying one, so you know you're dying, and you can't do anything. So
also whatever health you have when you got hit starts to decrease, and that can't be above a fourth of your total health. So
exactly.
It's like if you get popped,
you have about 15 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, give or take, depending on how hard you got hit.
Exactly.
How far you are away from the person who's about to help you, and how high your health was when you got smacked.
Exactly.
In the first place.
So you have anywhere between 5 and 15 seconds for your partner to come over and either heal you with a healing spray, a herb compilation spray, or just an adrenaline shot. And it's a working mechanic.
It's like the whole, like, keeping your partner alive thing is a core element, because, like, you can't just go, I'll go this way, you go this way, we'll meet up here in 10 minutes type of thing. You have to be relatively close to one another, because you can't account for the mistakes that another person is going to make or the things that they're not going to be prepared for. And that goes for both ends of the spectrum. Like, yo, experts just get caught by surprise. All just careless.
Random stuff will happen. And playing on the higher difficulties, they'll throw more enemies at you that do more damage, that have other attack patterns.
And take more health to drop.
Yeah, definitely. It's like Capcom has a really funny habit of just doing that for all of their games. It's like, hey, guess what? This guy does this now. What? He never did that before. Oh, yeah, he did. He doesn't do it on that lower difficulty.
Oh, and another thing about this game is, like, playing it, because there are four difficulty settings. There's amateur for people who are, like, I've never played a Resident Evil game before.
Not like a Resident Evil game. Like, this is the first action game, third-person action game that you've wanted to play.
And then there's veteran starting off, which is like, I've done this before. I'm going to do this right here, right now, the way I want to do it. And good luck with you on that, because, like, after you beat veteran, there's a subsequent fourth difficulty level, which as of yet is believed to be impossible to beat.
Yeah, it's professional difficulty. And
the difficulty spike,
God bless you,
amateur to normal is very much noticeable. Like, amateur, there are going to be some roadblocks. Especially if you're is this your first time through the game?
First time playing the game.
Even if you're good with Resident Evil games.
It's new. It's new. And there are new enemy types, which is another thing that we can talk about after the commercial break. I want to jump to a commercial real quick. Take a break because I want a piece of pizza. And we will come right back and we will talk about a lot of the new changes and, you know, things that make Resident Evil 5 different from Resident Evil 4. And we will talk about, you know, some of the special features of the game. Want to talk about a little bit of those special features? I mean, without giving away spoilers yet. Because we want you to get the game. So,
and play it yourself.
We'll talk about some of the special features. Not a lot of them, but enough to get, you know, pique your curiosity. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Xbox 360 Deluxe Edition 限定発売.
Oh man! All right, welcome back. We're talking. Yeah, we're recording. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, it's like whatever. I was just gonna not tell you. Get you on candy camera.
Wow.
Same stuff.
That's crazy.
No, whatever. It makes it seem like we don't just read this shit off pieces of paper. I don't have no paper. Do you have some paper so I could... Oh, that's your sandwich.
It's my sandwich.
All right, I'm not going to ruffle your sandwich.
You did, but whatever.
I did. Whatever. Anyway, talking more about Resident Evil 5 and its awesomeness. It's pure and unfettered awesomeness.
Unadulterated awesomeness.
Just out of all kids, out of the pool. It's Adult Swim. I guess we can talk about the online co-op mechanic, because...
Well, it's not just online. It's also system link and split
screen. Online, system link, and split screen. So you can play it with a friend while you're there. You can play it with a friend who has another Xbox, who has another TV. And you can play it over Xbox Live, which is a really cool feature.
Yeah.
One of the cool mechanics that they added to this game, and this is just for people who are, like, you know, collection whores like me. You want to collect stuff. They have a lot of bonus features, one of which is collecting toys, or figurines, I guess you call them.
Cause yeah, oddly toys. Enough.
They're figurines, and they're actually not just like little figurines. They're the actual, you know, in-game models.
Yeah, that you can rotate. Characters
that you can rotate.
Not even reposition so much as like
rotate, just like spin and like turn and like change the angle of.
Yeah.
But it shows you the in-game, you know, model. Used for all the characters. Only thing that could have been done differently was kind of like what they did with, what was that, Devil May Cry 4? Where, like, they move a little.
Yeah.
They moved a little in Devil May Cry 4.
Like,
but then,
if
like,
you left them inactive for, like, 5 or 10 seconds, they would just They start doing, like, their static animation.
But the cool thing is they added, like, this little voice on it where if, like, you hit Y or on the 3, or PS3, you hit triangle.
I guess.
It would be, like, kind of like if you bought a Gashapon set. And it's like, yo, they'll have, like, little voices and they sound, like, muffled. Like, they recorded it over top of, like, a voice recorder.
Yeah.
And then recorded that with another voice recorder. Like, it's a cute little touch. And then on top of that, they have, little things for all the bonus features, like bonus costumes you unlock.
Yeah.
You have the models for them as well, which is pretty cool. Jesus Christ. What else? What else can we tell them? Because I don't want to go out of my way to give anything away about the game. Cause...
Well, we could discuss the weapon upgrading mechanic, because I'm sure a lot of people who've played Resident Evil 4 are curious about that.
Okay. So how would one go about upgrading weapons in this game? Because I understand that in Resident Evil 4, I got money, or pesetas, and I could get little, like, you know, items in the game, and there was, like, a fat dude who had a coat that I could buy stuff from. He always had better stuff every time I met him.
Like, yeah, that guy's gone. There is no guy. There is a menu. Like, if you play Devil May Cry, like, you're pretty much... Yeah, that's pretty much what you can expect. You get 9 slots in your inventory menu, in your in-game inventory, but between missions, you can deposit all your items into what I think is, like, a 64-slot inventory system.
Yes.
Like pretty much like your universal storage box, but you can't access this box mid-mission, only, like, between missions and when you restart chapters or reload a save.
Yes.
Pretty much every gun you get, almost every gun you get...
Yeah, change that.
...has several levels of abilities you can upgrade, be it, like, the overall damage you do or firepower, reload speed, which is how fast you reload your weapon, which a lot of people go, like, well, it's like, yeah, cool, you're getting punched in the face.
Yeah, and the difference between 1 second and 2 seconds when you're reloading a shotgun could get you killed.
Yeah, in this game, anyway.
What else? We can upgrade
your capacity.
Capacity, and some guns,
have
the ability for critical ratio piercing.
Or, yeah, like he said, like, your piercing ability, which is basically how many enemies or how many items your bullet can go through before it stops causing damage. All right.
And I guess we could talk about the main types of weapons. We won't say names of any weapons, so they can be, a surprise to people. But it's like you get handgun.
Yeah.
You'll get machine gun.
Machine guns, shotguns.
And rifles.
And rifles, yes.
And explosives. Everything else, we're leaving that completely up to science. Because you got to figure that out. And not because we don't like you, but because when I saw certain weapons, I was like, oh, Lord in heaven. Yeah. There's a made-up weapon in this game.
There are several made-up weapons.
But no, this one weapon is just so awesome. I'm really hoping that they make a model or something for this. Like, I hope the toys come out, and I hope the toys have, like, extra weapons with them. And I'm hoping either the Chris or the Chevy gets this. Because there's this shotgun in the game that is so awesome. It's not even a shotgun. It's a super shotgun.
It's madness is what it is.
It kills everything that it touches. And it's great. But, like, the way that you upgrade all your weapons is by killing enemies. You kill enemies. Enemies will drop one of four things when you kill them. They'll drop something that's red, that's ammo. They'll drop something that's green, that's a healing item.
Yeah.
They'll drop something that is blue, that is money. I'm saying four things. I think it's only three. Did it drop a fourth thing? No.
No, it's only three.
And that's really the first way you're going to make money in the game, obviously, because that's the first thing you're going to see, is by killing people and making money. Okay. But the other way that you're going to make money in the game is by finding, kind of like how you did in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, just
you're gonna
random
find
treasures.
Like, random treasure. You're going to find, like, rubies and sapphires. And, like, you know, the standard, you know, jewels and gems that happen to be in West Africa. Which makes more sense than being in some rundown...
Like, Spanish village.
In a Spanish village. They just have, you know, golden relief statues. Like, it makes sense for the place that you're in and the time that you're in. Because there are going to be places that you go in the game that have items that you would actually get from places that you're in. Like, you're going to get statues from a temple. Done.
Yeah.
Without saying anything else. Because, God, I just want to tell you what happens, and I want to tell you who the bird lady is. Jesus Christ.
No, but, like, as far as, like, again, I'd like to get back into the overall aesthetic of the game, because, again, it's an awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of the controversy leading up to its release was surrounded around the setting, which is Africa, and the surrounding population that you are thus tasked with shooting to death, which is the majority of which are, like, you know, black people.
We're calling them black
Africans.
People, but they're not black people. None of them
African.
Are black. They're all African.
Yeah, or they're in Africa at the time of you arriving with your shotgun. So it's like,
I mean, how about this? Did we feel bad when Leon S. Kennedy was killing all the Spanish people? Did we feel bad when he was killing all those white people? Now, you know, we could consider that genocide. Like, the amount of white people I've killed, it's ridiculous.
In video games
over the years is a ridiculous amount. but none of that ends up becoming racism. But the, I guess the second we introduce, you know, a very, you know, Anglo male into a non-Anglo setting, it instantly becomes, you know, the stigma that it has to be racist. And I actually read a really interesting article on Kotaku this past week about anthropological testing that went on. They took Resident Evil 5 to this college, and they let these three professors play through the first three chapters of the game to gain their perspective on, you know, the racism in the game, and they wanted their, you know, knowledge on it, because obviously who would know more about racism than, you know, niggas who do anthropology.
Yeah, people who study it their entire lives,
people who study,
right?
People. And, you know, their findings were astounding. They were like, if anything, the older games were more racist than this. And if anything else, the game is less racist towards white people killing black people than it is inward racism with black people hating themselves or being a victim of their circumstance. You have to imagine that what's brought upon the people in this game, if we're talking about this like this is real, which it's not, which is another thing the professors brought up, is this is fiction. None of this ever happened.
Yeah.
And probably will not. I say probably because look out 2012. and it just comes down to, these are people stuck in a certain circumstance, and how would you react if you were infected with a virus?
It's not even probably how would you really react. Like, the virus that the game is that the game refers to a lot is a parasite that takes control of the brain and the surrounding nerve systems and allows you to be controlled by an exterior person or persons or impulse. And once this thing is in you,
it's
you
no longer
are
under
just
your control.
Removed. Like you, this is something you're watching happen.
Exactly. You're basically a shell or a container for something else that is inside you that is now you.
Exactly.
You're the housing case.
So all of these people, like this mob mentality in RE4 and Resident Evil 5, and again, which is our current release that we're talking about, is it's less about like, yo, black people are being portrayed as like this rowdy, murderous, you know, like uniform organism that just seeks to destroy everything that comes into its path.
You know, as black people, we do.
and like, it's less about that and more about a bunch of people being like used and taken advantage of, which I guess could be interpreted as more of an outside view on Africa's current situation and less of a parody of it.
You could think of this more so as commentary, social commentary.
Yeah, in a sense.
On the sense that, you know, we're looking from the outside within and making our own judgments. I mean, we could go on for hours about, you know, our current status in, you know, Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan.
Or again, aforementioned Africa.
Or Africa. I mean, like, look at what we're doing in Africa. What are we doing in Africa? Hmm. We're taking a situation that's bad and, you know, throwing fire on top of it.
And or ignoring it.
Yeah, really. Because that's the easiest way to deal with something. But don't ignore Resident Evil 5, I swear to God. Come to your house and Jane Silent Bob you.
Like, seriously, if you have a 360 or a PS3.
Yeah, a PS3. If you haven't already pre-ordered this game, if you don't have an Xbox, they're coming out with an Elite.
Yeah.
That's red. That comes with a game that has a red controller and a free month of Xbox Live.
Which you'll need to make friends to get through the game on the higher difficulties.
It's like, if anyone would like any help with the game, I am more than welcome to help, I guess, power level you.
As am I.
So, Lawrence, I don't know your gamer tag.
Well, my gamer tag is on Mike's friends list on Xbox Live. And it's pretty much the same screen name I use on the forums.
And that you guys need to be on anyway.
That's L Money. If you don't know what my name tag is on the forums, then you need to be on the forums.
Exactly.
Talking to me so I can show it to you.
And my name is Mad Ravensword on Xbox Live and Neo Shinra on the PS3, but I'm playing Resident Evil on the 360.
Yeah, me on the 360
awesome
as well.
On the 360. Really? Only other thing I'd like to throw out there is, God.
It is a
get
game.
This game. It's not even a game more so than it is an experience. A great experience that probably that only comes along once in a lifetime. Like, you have to think, I guess I
wouldn't say once in a lifetime so much as once in a console generation. Like, every time
Like every console has something that defines it.
Yeah, like a good game comes out, and this is going to be one of those games where people just go, "Yo, if it wasn't for Resident Evil, if it wasn't for Resident Evil 5, like a lot of people would not know what these systems are capable of."
Yeah,
and
really.
This game is truly going to elevate what you expect visually, mm-hmm. and like you know, audio wise, even so much maybe even as far as storytelling, because it's the story is surprisingly grounded.
Exactly. Like, we look at older Resident Evils.
You know, they're pretty much like jokes.
It's like Jill Sandwich and all. It's like that. Like, a lot of those games were funny. This is probably the most serious game in a long time that I've played.
There's very little, like, oh, you made a funny line.
Exactly. Like and there are quips in the game. They're there. But Chris is a very bitey individual. And I guess, considering the circumstances that he's been placed in over the years,
You'd
have to be a cynical bastard too. Like, someone wakes up and tells me I'm in a mansion that's full of monsters. This sucks. And then it's like, yo, guess what? I'm in another place.
another
biological hazard has happened. And the same dude who ruined my life is back, and he hates my sister.
Yeah,
and then I'm back again, and he hates me some more. Oh, man. Like Chris has been through a lot. So that's why I guess like a lot of people who have been saying, you know, why is it that Chris is just so easy to see stuff, or like he does, like why stuff shouldn't scare you as much in this game?
Yeah,
not a damn thing should scare Chris at this point. Like, besides the good Lord showing up and telling him it's time for the rapture, like, Chris, come with me. It's like, why did this? Like that's all that can happen. Like this game is really a treat, and I think as gamers, we should be, you know, very excited and revel in the fact that we're alive during a time that we can play something like this.
Yeah, very much so.
Really, it's like we think of our, you know, grandpas, where they get to play nothing. We think of our fathers, where they get to play Hubert, Pac-Man. That was tops for them. It's like, what do we get? You're Resident Evil 5. That Resident is salty.
That is absurd.
They got Frogger and we got Resident Evil 5.
Like you look at Resident Evil 4 and then you go to Resident Evil 5 and like, you're not prepared to wrap yourself around the drastic, the degree that the bar has been elevated to is just,
yeah. Games have to do a lot now. It's like I said it before. It's like I can die a happy man now.
Like, the game took 5 years to make,
and there was a reason for that,
and all for valid, very valid reasons.
Like, cool. Some games get delayed, and guess what? They hit the chop block, or something changes. They change you know, direction team. They get a new writer. This game needed to gestate for just this long for people to fully grasp what Resident Evil 5 will do for you. You have to play the game, and it's like it's going to be something different for everyone, because there are certain games out there for everyone, but I think that there's something in Resident Evil 5 for everyone. There's going to be something from some genre that you'll appreciate, that you'll see in this game.
I'd like to argue that point. Yeah,
and really, because I mean, whatever, we're running out of time. I will challenge people to find things wrong with this game. I mean, there's one scene in the game that I can think of off the top of my head. There's a chandelier, and it is so ugly. you'll see the cutscene. Like, really. And this is just something that I guess in post, they were just playtesting,
like,
and
just,
no one
it
caught
just
it.
By
but I happened to be watching the screen so intently that I saw it. I'm like, yo, Lawrence, check out that chandelier. You're like, what? You're like, oh my god. Like, it's just like a JPEG on top of a JPEG that they flatten and put like black lines around. But beyond that, the game is gorgeous.
Ridiculous.
The frame rate holds up the entire, like,
during co-op,
the amount of stuff that they throw at you
on a higher difficulties even.
Oh,
like,
man. And there are no chugs or anything. Like,
and there are some boss fights that are truly just epic.
Like, I wonder to myself, like, what do people in Asia do to themselves? Because these are Asian people who made this game. And what do people... And you know what's funny? They talk a lot about the fact that they're not up to par with a lot of Western developers. You know what I think? You know what I think that is? I think that is just them being really
humble. I think that's them being really respectful.
They're really respectful. And, like, there are a lot of things that Western developers do. Because I know a lot of them looked at Call of Duty 4. Like, Hideo Kojima looked at Call of Duty 4 and how they did that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the director for Resident Evil 5... He looked at Gears of War, Gears of War 2. He visited Epic. And, you know, they look at these things and they see what American gamers are buying a lot of, because Gears sold well. Call of Duty sold really well.
Ridiculously
well. And these are the things that, you know, Western developers are looking at, because they're seeing that you know, the traditional JRPG is dying.
Right.
You know, boy gets amnesia, androgynous, you know, androgynous male has a really big sword, save the princess, she's in another castle 8 out of 9 times.
It's like, yeah, that's getting tired.
That's getting tired, but the thing that they did with Resident Evil 5, like, the enemy design is so off the wall.
Like, you're not expecting to see any of the stuff you're going to see in this game. It is just ridiculous.
It's like the scenery changes enough. They give you different types of gameplay within the gameplay. Like, whatever. I'm scoring it 10 out of 10. Anyone who calls it anything less didn't play the game, like, or got bought out.
If I assign ratings, there aren't enough numbers to get, like, 10 out of 10 is limited. It's like, really? So it's just awesome? It's like, right now I'm wasting time talking about it, and I could be home playing.
And we could be playing the game right now.
Out of all of the games we've reviewed, this is the first game that I've talked about on the show, and it felt that way about. And like,
yeah, because you usually have like a lot of negative to say about games.
I'm usually like the polar opposite of Mike on a lot of things.
Yeah.
If not even for my own benefit, but just for the sake of causing argument for the show. But like, I see little to no flaws or things that could be detrimental to your enjoyment of this experience. And it's like, as far as co-op is concerned, the only complaint I can lodge is like, if you have a piss poor friend who is incapable of sharing and cooperating with you, exactly, you're not going to like the game.
Then
you're
it turns into Resident Evil Outbreak. It's like, yeah, I need a healing. It's like, oh no. It's like, I need ammo. It's like, no. Yeah. I can't do that.
If you're dealing with one of those, then that's just on you. Play with the computer. The computer
exactly
loves you.
Exactly. The AI, oh, Sheva loves you.
The computer will die to save you from
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, really. Like, Sheva will run through people chopping at her to get to you. But yeah, like, oh man.
But
really,
other than that,
go get Resident Evil 5. Like, what other games are coming out this month? Nothing.
There's nothing really of merit.
Ghostbusters got pushed back till July. Prototype don't come out till August.
Ninja Blade comes out next month.
If we're Americans. And Godfather 2? Hawks? MOB09, the show that when you play it erases all your save data on your Xbox?
Oh, damn, for real? That's a
Yeah, it's know? Like, I was in EB Games the other day. Just, like, a little side note. I was in EB Games talking to my you know, people at EB.
Wow.
Trying to stay up on, you know, current gaming news and stuff like that. Dude calls in. Says, yo, my Xbox just got formatted. God's like, why? What happened? What'd you do? He's like, nothing. I put MOB09 the show in and asked me if I wanted to save. It reset and it put him back to the original dashboard. The Blades?
Damn.
It reset his game back to the Blades. And then he went to the memory. He said, all my saves are gone. My profiles are gone. All that's gone. Now, mind you, this is an older gentleman who got the Xbox because he just retired. And he just wanted to play video games, and he wanted to play MLB09 the show because he liked the older one.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
And he put it in, and he's like, yo, I don't have an Xbox Live account. I never signed up for Live. I just have a profile, and these are all my saves. Like, these are hundreds of hours of saves just gone.
I haven't heard of that,
and I've been looking on
like
the
that.
Boards for people saying that, and it's like, no, but he said all I did was put MLB09 the show in, and it reset my Xbox. He doesn't even have the new dashboard, like the NXE update.
I've been like looking into a lot of these newer games coming out, like for stuff like that, and that's where I dwell on message boards
exactly,
on multiple sites, and I've never come across anyone.
It's also weird now though,
like,
because
that.
we're at a phase where they're releasing what we could consider third generation Xbox 360 titles.
Yeah,
because all the games coming out now have the new NXE update on them.
Yeah, I suppose they do.
Because if for some reason you don't have the new dashboard, it'll put it on there for you.
Yeah,
but I just thought that was hilarious.
It's like, that's crazy. Like, one thing I'm starting to realize, another trend, is companies releasing, like, unfinished titles and just deciding to patch them at launch.
Or soon after. That's their thing, because they realized that they released a game that they didn't have enough time to finish. So they're like, we'll release it this way, and they know it's bad. And they're like, well, we'll patch it, like, with Fable 2. Oh,
and then still
God!
Didn't fix it.
And no, but I was talking about like I turn the game on and my Xbox freezes, like that.
Yeah,
they
I've
had
done
to
that.
Patch that.
Like yeah, like two
like game breaking.
Like to Resident Evil's credit though, when you do put it in your system on a 360, and I'm not sure on the PS3 if they got the patch live yet. But from what I've been hearing, the Xbox 360 version does have a patch that you have to install, but it just adds an option to an extra game that you probably won't even have unless you already beat the game. Yeah, because you have to beat the game once. Anyway.
You have to beat the game once to unlock it. Whatever, we can talk about it. It's been on the internet.
I guess we can talk a little bit about
It's Mercenaries. But we're not talking about that. You gotta beat the game.
You gotta play that. You gotta buy the game. You gotta go buy the game now.
Buy the game on Friday, which is now today. Not today, because today's Wednesday.
Yeah, by the time you hear the show, it'll be Friday.
You'll hear this show, because you listen to this show when you wake up, and you listen to it on your way to work.
You better.
And after you're done doing that, you're going to go to the store, and you're going to buy Resident Evil 5, and then you're going to call out of work, because you're going to be sick. So get your convincing, you know, sick voice on, and call your boss and tell him or her that you're going to be late for work, and or not to work, and then tell your wife that you're not, you know, making sweet love to her down by the fire that night, because you're playing Resident Evil 5. seriously, guys, you gotta go to www.j1studios.com for all of your insights and inside jokes that we have just on the internet, because we're on the internet at that website. You're gonna wanna go over to the community tab, and you're gonna wanna register on the J1 forums.
Let's please register.
That way you guys can come talk to us. I mean, only way that we can start talking about stuff that you guys wanna know about, because at this point, we're out of AAA titles. So
going forward, we're going to have to start digging.
We're going
to
dig, and we're going to talk about whatever we want at that point. And you may or may not like that, because I don't know how much you like cabbage, but I love cabbage. And we're going to talk about that. So go over to the J1 forums and register. Get yourself on the site. Come over to the reset boards and just come talk to us. We're always putting up previews and reviews of games. We have a new YouTube page where we're putting up footage of exclusive titles.
Footage. Like video.
Bam, like video, man. We got video now, boy. We're going to start doing, like, achievement guides and commentary over games soon. So look forward to that in the coming weeks we go ahead.
When you join the J1 forums, do be mindful that we have a contest going on for people who bring friends onto the site and get those friends to refer to them by name because they've been referred to the site. So if you join a site, grab people, tell them to register, tell them to put your name on the list, and if you have more names than everyone else, we will give you $50 credit to use at our store.
To use at the store, buy anything you want.
Get whatever's on the store.
Yep, up to $50, not including shipping. So that's good to go. I mean, like, that's free $50. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but I love free $50. And, you know, who's on the $50 bill? Quiz. Who's on the $50 bill? Hamilton.
I don't know.
Hamilton.
I don't know.
No.
There are so few times when I've had a $50 bill.
No, it's Ulysses S. Grant, because Hamilton's on the 20. There, done.
Yeah, Hamilton is on the 20.
Hamilton's on the
20,
and Ulysses S. Grant. Why is Ulysses S. Grant on the $50 bill? What did he do other than be a drunk and a womanizer?
Why is Benjamin Franklin on the 100?
Why is Martin Luther King not on any money? Why isn't Obama on any money yet?
Why didn't he make an Obama dollar?
I need Obama bucks. Yeah, he's going to be the $500 bill during the reserve. Like, yeah, when we get our $500 check from him, it's just going to be... Oh, yeah, because we live in America. So for people listening internationally, you probably know more about this president than you do any other president, just because he's so much more awesome than all of them. It's so like, yo, he just signed a bill this week unraveling everything that George Bush did during his entire 8-year tenure.
Yo, my man
tenure.
Just passed stem
cells. He just passed stem cells. Oh, my
We're
God.
Not going to talk about that because we don't have a
Oh, can we talk thing. About stem cells?
No, we can't.
Oh, we can't.
We're a video game show.
I know we're a video game show, but Barack Obama is... That is... If that's not a video game, I don't know what it is. A black man is the president of the free world.
Yeah, cool, great. When we have a show that talks about real world issues, we'll talk about real world issues right now. Talk about video games.
All right. But once an Obama game comes out, we're talking about that, boy. Best believe it. All right, guys. That's our show for this week. You know, we will talk to you guys later.
Peace.
Reset is now complete.
Dust.
Game is corrupt. Please press the reset button.